Romans chapter 5, we'll be reading from verses 1 to 8. Before I start, I'd like to welcome Pastor Williams and his family visiting from Cornwall. We're so happy to have you this morning. We're honored and we're privileged that you would take the time to worship with us this morning. I do want to say that we should continue to hold Brother Brent in prayers. I know that God is a miracle-working God. The situation might not look good, but we serve a Jesus who can. Like Brother Danny aptly said, I would actually like to give high honors to Pastor and Sister Price in their absence this morning. I am honored and privileged that they would allow me at this pulpit in their absence. I'm thankful for the trust and the confidence. This is a word, I will preface this by saying that this is a word that's been on my heart for about 3 weeks now. Originally, I prepared this word to be preached this evening, actually. But God ordains everything, and I believe that there's a reason why he would have me speak this morning. I don't know how it's going to come out, but Jesus is in it, and he'll do something with it, I'm sure. Let's read together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some should dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This morning, my focus will be verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word, Lord God, and we've come here to hear a word from you. So I pray right now that you'll take me out of the way, that you'll take all of us out of the way, and that you would begin to speak your word with authority and power. Lord, I pray that it will do something in us, that it will change us and make us more like you this morning. In the middle of it, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. For the next few moments, I'll be speaking on the title, Unconditional Love. Unconditional love. God is all powerful. He can do anything. He knows everything, and I mean everything. He is a holy God. He is righteous. He is just, and he is merciful. He is also full of grace all at the same time. We know that God never changes, so he is all these things, and all these things identify him uniquely as God. Can I also add that he is love? If he had DNA, it would be a part of his DNA, just like his holiness, his mercy, his power, and his love. But what does it mean to us today that God is love? It means it is who he is. He is not God without it. He is in a constant state of love that is unconditional, because it never changes. It is who he is. He might get angry at us sometimes, and yes, God does get angry, but in that anger, his love is still present. He might get just a little bit jealous when his kids put other things ahead of him, but in the middle of that jealousy, his love is still there. His need for justice might force him to correct us sometimes, but in the middle of correction, though it might not feel very good to us, he still loves. It is an unconditional, unchanging part of who he is. It can be difficult for us to understand that concept. It can be very difficult for us to accept that because we live in a world where love is conditional. Do you look like me? Do you speak the same language as me? Do we have the same culture? Do we have the same religious beliefs? Is there something that we have in common that causes me to love you? We live in a world where marriages end as soon as they start, and often you'll hear we fell out of love. Basically, they're saying is that you stopped doing something that caused me to love you in the beginning. More and more, we see family that are torn apart because we're family today, but if you rub me the wrong way, well, tomorrow we're enemies. More and more, we see children that are separated from parents, brothers are separated from sisters, friends turning against friends, and neighbors at war with neighbors simply because our love is conditional. But my question this morning is simply, when serving a God whose love is unconditional, while living in a world whose love is conditional, what does that mean for us? Where does that leave us? Well, first of all, it means that we must be careful not to view God's love towards us through the lens of what our culture deems to be love. God loves me when I'm good. God loves me when I'm doing what I'm supposed to. He loves me, but he only loves me when I'm the Christian that I'm supposed to be. If I fall short, if I mess up, if I somehow am not everything that he wants me to be, then his love somehow changes. His love for me is conditional. Now, you might not say it, but have you ever felt that way? Have you ever behaved that way? Where the level of your belief that he is with you went up and down in relation to how you thought you were doing spiritually. But God's love for us is unconditional. Now, we don't have to understand that. It is difficult to get. It's difficult for me to get. I still cannot completely wrap my head around it, but we do have to accept it. We have to get to a place where, Lord, I may not understand why you love me the way you love me. I may not understand how you love me the way you love me, but I'll take it. I'll take it anyways. Jesus died to show his love. It's simple. We all know that the foundation of our faith begins with the truth that Jesus died for us. He died for you when you were nothing, when you weren't holy, when there was nothing in you that looked like him. But we need reminding of that sometimes. We need to grasp that. We say it all the time as Christians. God is love. He is love. But do we remember it when it most counts? Jesus loves you even when you don't measure up, even when you're not all you're supposed to be, even when you're not lovable to others. The fact is, Jesus still loves you. It is not a question, it is truth, it is fact. He loves you. Jeremiah 31 and 3, in the New Living, long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love have I drawn you to myself. I have loved you with an everlasting love. What exactly is everlasting? Because for the last 3 weeks, I've been asking God, what is everlasting? The fact that something won't die, it won't stop, it goes on forever and ever and ever. It's literally like asking, what is eternity? His love won't stop. And it's part of what makes him God. He will not change. When it comes to describing who he is and the love that he has for us, the Bible tries to get us to understand this in a number of different ways. The Bible describes him as a father and describes the love for us as a father would have for his children. When he wanted Israel to understand this, he spoke of himself as a husband. and them as his bride. The book of Hosea shows that when the nation turned from him and they started to serve other gods, God said, hey, you've committed adultery against me. Like a wife who steps out on her husband, so are my people when they turn away from me because they are in a covenant relationship with him. The church is described as the bride of Christ. We are in a covenant relationship with Christ. The love of a father for his children and the love of a husband for his wife is used so that we can simply begin to understand the concept of a God kind of love, but it can never really adequately explain. So in the opening text this morning, he takes it to another level by saying that the tangible expression of my love towards you is that I died for you. Not when you looked good, not when you were holy, but when you were nothing, when you didn't have it going on, when you didn't deserve it, that is when I chose to die for you. I mean, who does that but God? Who is capable of loving me? Who is capable of loving you no matter what? I mean, he knows everything about you. He knows every thought, every action. And still, he chooses to love. And still, he chooses to say, I am going to love you no matter what. And in fact, I'm going to take it one step further. I am going to die for you. Who does that? But Jesus. Serving God, a God who loves unconditionally, while living in a world whose love is conditional. What does that mean for us? Well, it means that as his kids, we are expected to love. Have you ever noticed that there are certain traits that run in families? Some families are tall, some families are short. Some of them will say the same phrases, will laugh the same way, have the same eyes, the same nose, the same mouth. Sometimes you can look at a kid and say, that's so-and-so's kid. Because there's something in the way they look or there's something in the way that they behave that moves you to say, that's the family that they're from. As his kids, there ought to be something in us that compels people to say, are you with Jesus? Are you one of his followers? Do you go to church? Have you ever gotten that question? Hey, excuse me, but are you a Christian? People ought to be able to say that there's something different about her. There is something different about him. You're supposed to look at me and say, something in you reminds me of who your father is. When the world looks at us, they are supposed to see something that makes them say, you're Jesus's kid. If we look like him, and if unconditional love is a part of who he is, then it needs to be a part of who we are too. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. The evidence that we're in true covenant with him is simply that we love. We cannot be connected to him and not love. Now, that statement sounds pretty simple to you right now. Sure, I'm going to love, but I'm actually going to challenge you with that statement this morning. But being connected to God is to be connected to love itself. And in order for us to love the way he loves, we must first believe and accept that he loves us unconditionally. It is difficult to demonstrate something that you have not experienced. And if we are going to love the way he loves, we must first put ourselves in a position to accept fully the love that he has for us individually. So in light of the fact that he's gone out of his way to show us how much he loves us, What is our response to that? And we know that our response to him, first of all, is repentance, where we choose to turn from our own way and turn to God's way. It's a change of heart, a change of mind, and a complete change of direction. In Acts 2:38, the scripture will not be on the screen this morning, but he says we're then to be baptized in his name. And as we ask him, he seals us with his love by filling us with his spirit. As a side note, can I just say that if you're in this place today and you have never received the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, today is your day. I believe that Jesus is here and he wishes to fill you. He wishes to pour into your life this morning the full manifestation of his love towards you. But as Jesus pours his love into us, the overflow that comes out is his love that we can then extend to others. Let's look at Matthew 22, verses 36 to 38. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Loving God unconditionally the way he loves us. That's difficult. What exactly does that mean to love God unconditionally? To love him no matter what, no matter what's going on in our lives, to still love him. Well, tangibly, it means that we put him first in everything. No matter what is going on, it means that even when you feel like walking with the crowd, you have to turn around and say, no, the Jesus that I love compels me to walk against the crowd. Loving God unconditionally. That is what drives you to serve him, even in those moments where you don't feel like serving him. That is what drives you to do the right thing, even when the moments when doing the wrong seems easier. You see, God does not need us to serve him out of obligation. What he is looking for is a heart that loves him the way he loves. Are you familiar with John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. His love for us compelled him to give. Because when he looks at you, he sees his kid. Not some woman and not some man, but he sees his kid. And his love for his kid, his love for you compelled him to give. Love produces action. Your love for God produces action. When you love God, the evidence is going to be seen in your life. When you love someone, you want to please them. And so if we truly love God with everything that we have, our life's desire becomes pleasing him, to obey his word, to do what he wants you to do. Is doing his will more important than when you feel your happiness is? Are you completely sold out? Because love makes you completely sold out. The type of love that God requires is not the conditional love of the world, dependent on what he gives you or how he makes you feel. The love he requires is the type of love that says, Jesus, you're my dad. You're my dad when things aren't going well. You're my dad when things are going really good. You're my dad when things happen that I don't want. You're my dad, and I'm still going to love you with my life. He died for you. Would you die for him if you had to? You know, the apostles, they had some pretty horrific deaths. Not because they wanted to die, but because love drove them to take a stand for him. Stephen was stoned to death by a crowd with a smile on his face because when he looked up, he saw the Jesus that he loved. When you love someone, you want to spend time with them. Are you in fellowship with him? Do you talk to him? Is being in his presence important to you? When you love someone, you want to listen to them. Do you know the voice of God this morning when he speaks? Are you searching after his direction? Love says, I don't want to be in the same room with you and not even recognize that you are there. How easily do you recognize the Spirit of the Lord? Loving God is obeying Him and staying in fellowship with Him no matter what. How strong is the evidence of your love towards God in your life this morning? Is it easily recognizable that yes, I am in love with the God that's in love with me? Matthew 22, verses 39 and 40. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. I'm really going to challenge us this morning with this one. You see, God gives us two great commandments. He says, love Him and love people. We cannot love Him the way we should until we learn to receive and accept the love that He has for us. Our concept of love needs to be compared to Him and the way He loves, not the world around us. But the thing is, we can't love people the way that we should until we learn to love Him properly. As we walk with Him, He teaches us how to love unconditionally because it's not a part of my nature. It is not a part of your nature. It's not what you naturally want to do. You naturally want to love those that love you. Your ability to love is the identifying mark that says you're in relationship with Jesus. John 13 and 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love distinguishes you from the world. Your ability to love means that when the world sees you, they aren't just seeing you, but they're seeing Jesus as He manifests Himself through your love. The parallel scripture to Mark 22 is Luke 10. And in Luke chapter 10, we see the question of the hour was, who is my neighbor? You want us to love our neighbor, but what does that mean? So Jesus begins to tell a story. And He says, a certain man went to Jerusalem from Jericho and fell among thieves. They stole his clothes, they beat him up, and they basically left him for dead. So a priest came by and walked on the other side of the road. Imagine you're out in the ditch somewhere, dying, and pastor comes by and walks on the other side of the road. He wouldn't do it, but imagine. Next came a Levite and did the same thing. Imagine everybody in a leadership position here would just walk by, see you, and just do it. A Samaritan came by. Imagine that's a Christian. That's not a Christian. That's somebody who doesn't know God, who doesn't serve God. Imagine somebody that has another religion, that has nothing in common with you, doesn't look like you, doesn't speak the same language as you. A Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews were actually cousins, but they hated each other. So a Samaritan came by and had compassion on him, took care of him and brought him to an inn, and gave money and said, hey, if he costs you anything else, the next time I come by, I'll pay you. Jesus then asked, who was the neighbor? The answer was the Samaritan. So Jesus said, go and do the same. Loving people. At first glance, we think loving people sounds easy. It sounds simple. But Jesus always takes things to another level. He said, go and love people, but not just the people that look like you. Not just the people who love like you. Not just the people that you know really, really, really well. If we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us like we should, then we're loving people like He loves us, unconditionally, even in their sin. It does not mean we approve, but it means that we're showing the same love that Jesus showed towards us, because when we were yet sinners, Christ died. So when they are yet sinners, we love. His love drove us to Him Our love can pull them towards him. Your love could make the difference in the life of somebody for eternity. Will you love people today? Will you simply love people? In this, the days where we live, in a world that is rampant with hate and violence, where it's okay to talk about somebody because they don't think the way you do, everywhere you turn, somebody is pushing somebody else down. We must stand out. We must be compassion in the middle of indifference. We must be generosity in the middle of selfishness. We must be love in the middle of a hateful world. The Church of Jesus Christ must stand out with love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. It goes together. You cannot separate it. You love God and you love people. You can't love God and not love people. You cannot love people properly and not love God. It all starts with accepting that he loves you with an everlasting, unfailing love. Because everything else is the overflow of that. You see, he's the come as you are kind of God. He takes you as you are. He loves you as you are. And then he says, now, let's work with that. He says, if you are my child, if you, my child, can understand the extent to which I love you, I can work with you. That's the beginning. I can use you. You may be a sinner right now, but if you can accept my love, it can change your life. The opening scripture we read said that tribulation works patience, and patience give experience or character. And this experience lead to hope. And the hope is not for nothing, because he loves us. We know that he loves us because the Holy Spirit is given to us. Sometimes we're going to go through stuff, and the temptation is to say, God has forgotten me. People might say, where is your God? But when you are rooted and grounded in love, you know that is not for nothing. When it seems like the promises of God aren't coming to fruition in your life, love says, I'm going to keep the faith. Love says, I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Love says, it might look like darkness, but he's got me. That's what love does. When we are rooted and grounded in love, we know that it's not for nothing. Some things may be happening in your life right now, but love says there's going to be a way. Love says it's a process. I'm just going through a process. My Lord, my Father, my Savior, he's just taking me through a process in life, but he loves me, so I'm going to keep hanging on. Because the Holy Spirit living inside of me tells me that there's hope. Beyond this life, beyond this moment, beyond this situation, there is hope. You can come back to the music. I'm actually going to be getting ready to close very soon. Is there evidence of God's love in your life this morning? Do you believe and accept that he loves you? You know, I've come to understand that people can tell you and show you the extent of the love that they have towards you, but if there's no room in your heart, you're just going to push them away. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they give. It doesn't matter what they say. They'll just push you away. Is there room in your heart for the unconditional love of God this morning, saints? Have you accepted that God loves you unconditionally, or are you still pushing him away, thinking that it's somehow conditional? That is the lie of the enemy. That is the lie of the world, because God loves you with an everlasting love. It is a love that does not stop. It is a love that does not change. But what are you telling yourself this morning? What do you believe this morning? Does he know that you love him? And I mean, not by the looks of things or what people think or what it looks like on the outside. You know, a marriage can look pretty good on the outside. It could look like the happiest thing there is. Like they're two people completely in love with each other. But in their house, in actuality, hell is loose. Come on now. In the house where you live with, in the house where you live in with God, does he know that you love him? Not from what it looks on the outside, but in the house here where you and God are the only residents. Does he know that you love him? Do the people around you know that you love them? I mean, you might know that they love them. You might know that you love them. But do people know that you love them? Do people feel better for being around you? Are their lives improved somehow because they've been in your presence? Because they've seen Jesus? And I'm not talking about, are you telling people that you love them? God's word always becomes tangible. When we say something, we must show it. Because everything that God says, every promise that he gives, always becomes tangible. Is your love manifest in people's lives? Does the world know that you are a Christian? Can they see that you are a follower of Christ, that you are in relationship with Christ through your love? Will you stand with me this morning? Pastor and Brother Brent, by extension, has given me the great honor of presenting the word of God to you this morning. But after presenting the word of God to you this morning, I now stand the first at this altar to say, Lord, help me to accept your love more fully. Help me to live my life like you love me. Help me to believe with everything that I have that you love me unconditionally. And when the enemy comes to try and tell me differently, help me to accept your love this morning. Help me to love people like I should. Help me to love people even when I don't want to love. Help me to love people even when they give me no reason to love them at all. Help me to love you better. Help me to please you more, to do more of the things that you want me to do, to open up more of my heart to you. Is there anyone this morning who would join me at this altar right now? If you're here and you say yes, I will join you. Will you come right now and simply say, Jesus, help me to accept your love in my life? Is there anyone who would join me this morning in saying, Jesus, help me to be confident in your love? When life happens, when things happen, when the enemy throws things along the way, help me to look at the hardships, to look at the hurdles that I have to jump over and still be confident in your love. When everything in front of me tries to tell me that you don't love me, when my circumstances try to tell me that you do not love me, Jesus, help me this morning to be confident in your love. Is there anyone else this morning who would join us? Is there anyone else this morning that would join us? His love will change your life. His love will change your life this morning.